Good morning. It's 7:51 on September the 28th. Cold. It is a cold morning. 16:25, yeah. That's a little more like it. I turned the tunes back on, you can probably tell. It's funny, that makes a difference of a minute a mile, having a beach to walk to. It's cold this morning. Yesterday was, it was dark, it was raining, it was windy, it was cold. I got out to take the picture and realized that I couldn't really hold the phone up because there was so much rain in the air. I didn't want to get the water on the lens, which is one of the few exposed pieces of this phone in the OtterBox. And it's like, this isn't going to happen. I just turned around and went back inside. It was ugly. And I felt sick to my stomach. It was one of those nights where I stayed up way too late and then had to get up early in the morning. So I only got like 3 or 4 hours sleep. So I was sick to my stomach and exhausted. It was nasty. I turned around and went back in. It would have been really, really, really easy to just skip today too, but I waited till it got to be light out. It's Saturday, I don't have to get kids anywhere, I don't have to do anything in the next hour, so I figured, okay, well, I'll wait till it's light and then I'll go out. And I'm glad I waited, because there's frost everywhere. Frost on the pumpkin here. Well, not exactly, but some of the roofs have frost on them, which I thought was pretty interesting. It was a cold night. It's 40 degrees at the moment, but it was apparently a lot colder overnight. At least in patches and places. So, yeah, the reason I was up late was that I volunteered to do more beta work. I should know better. This guy has a science fiction novella and he's looking for some feedback. And, no. There was just so much wrong with it. There was just so much wrong with it. His concern was that it was too much like Star Trek Light. No, it was too much like Star Trek. Period. The captain's name even had 4 letters in it. They had a science officer with arched eyebrows. They did all the classic Star Trek ship takes damage movements. There was just so much wrong. And I really hated to see the guy put the book out, because there was so much wrong with it. So I wrote back to him and sent him back a marked up copy of the first chapter, because it was really all I could stomach. And I sent it back to him and said, yeah, you're not going to like this, but I did not like this at all. There was way too many problems. Almost every sentence had a problem with it. Almost every sentence had a problem with it. Either it was the wrong sentence, or it was it was Star Trek dialogue. It was a miscommunication, a miscue on what was going on in the story. And it was one of these that, oh, it has to start with the action in media res, rah rah rah. And the problem is, he started with the fire torpedoes. That was his first line. Fire torpedoes. Actually, it wasn't his first line. His first line was an info dump prologue that actually, in hindsight, really does set the tone for the story, because it was it was really bad. Career military people do not write like that. in their captain's log. It just doesn't happen. It was so completely unbelievable. It was like it was written by some gee golly whiz ensign directly out of the academy or something. It was just, no. And it was all info dump, and it really wasn't important. It really didn't matter. It didn't set the tone, and it didn't, well, actually it did set the tone, but not in the way he expected. So, yeah, Prologues and I have a long and unsatisfactory history together. I have seen a couple that do work, so I've had to back off my absolute stance of Prologue, really? Two, well, maybe. This one was not one of those. This one was a waste of 400 words. So I sent back the chapter and it marked up, and along with a long note, and that took me way too long. After not getting home until 10:30, it took me till almost 12:30 to go through this thing and take the time to mark it up and explain what was wrong with each individual sentence. Point of view breaks left and right. I don't think he realized that they were point of view breaks. I think he was going for an omniscient point of view, the camera angle from the TV script point of view. So he's describing what his camera would record if this were to be a television show, and it looks like a television show. It reads like there's nothing wrong with that, except that it's not. You know, I get to the end, and I'm rooting for the enemy to kill them just to, because they're just too stupid to live, and that's not really the goal. That's not really how things work. I gave him some suggestions, which he wrote back and thanked me for, and said that no, you couldn't possibly do that because if it doesn't start with action, then he has to, you know, give up on the story. It's like, oh, well, okay, but at least start with the right action. Start with the action that feeds the story. Don't start with the action that kills it. But, hey, it's his book, his story, his novella. I won't read it. I probably won't read anything else he ever writes, but it's okay. I don't have to. There's lots of people who will be happy with that kind of mindless Star Trek fanfic with the names changed. And there'll be people who'll be happy with that. I'm not one of them. The one that got me. The one that got me was they're taking hits on the ship, and of course the ship is shaking. And the first hit knocks the weapons officer off her feet and onto the deck. And the second hit knocks the captain out of his command chair and rolls almost to the helm before he's able to get back into his chair, and he claws his way into the chair. And they finally make good killing the first wave of enemy, and then another one uncloaks and proceeds to pound the crap out of him. And the next big hit knocks all the pens and tablets off the counters. Really? 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 You have these other two massive blows to the ship. The ship rings. People are thrown around in their seats. They're thrown from their seats. And only the third time do the styluses and tablets fall off the... No. 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 I'm sorry. This isn't thoughtful writing. This isn't stuff that's going to survive. So, and the killer is, and I think that I haven't gone back to it because I just can't force myself to read anymore. But I think the killer is, I don't think this chapter is important to the story. The story is about a ship that gets disabled, far from home, they lose their jump drive, they can't jump anywhere, so they have to go to the nearest planet and set up a colony. And the idea was, of course, that this is the last ship of the last mission of an old military vessel, and it's ferrying colonists to someplace far away. And so the deal is that they're going to set up a colony anyway, they're just going to do it on a planet they didn't expect. Which is kind of cool, which is kind of a nice setup. But if that's the case, then the story starts when they crash land on the planet. Monk Pole. Not when they take the damage. Understand why he did it. He's trying to build a series of novellas, and God help him, he's bragging about the cliffhanger at the end, which to me is the period at the end of the sentence where I stop reading. I really don't like cliffhangers, and I really don't like the mindset that thinks cliffhangers between stories work. Sell me on this story, and I will buy the next one. You don't need to cliffhanger me. I will buy the next one. Sell me on this story, and I will buy the next one. You can't sell me on this story, but you use a cheap trick to make me buy the next one? Ain't happening. Just ain't happening. I don't go there. I'm grumpy enough and curmudgeonly enough that kind of cheap crap doesn't fly with me. And that's what it looks like to me, is cheap crap. So, yeah, don't do it. I don't do it, and I don't read books that do. But he's proud of it because he's trying to create a set of novellas that read like a television series, that read like an episodic TV show with a larger arc and a monster of the week or something. And I'm sure that it's a great idea. It's actually a great idea. It's one that's been around forever, and one that I started out with Odin's Outpost and then never followed through with. Be that as it may, there's this problem that he has, and that's that he needs to pay attention to craft, and his craft is sadly informed by Star Trek reruns, I'm afraid. Maybe the other betas will love it. Maybe the other betas will suck it up with a straw. It's very pulpy, and as pulp it might work. As science fiction it doesn't. So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it works out. I really do wish him the best. I hope he does really well, because that would be cool. But my concern is that he's just going to be another nail in the coffin of crappy indie writers. So yeah, kind of a pain. There was apparently a piece in Publishers Weekly about a writer's retreat. Eight children's writers went to somebody had a friend who had a condo in Steamboat Springs, and they went up there and they wrote across the eight of them. They wrote 15,000 words in a weekend. Or something we did. I don't know. It wasn't that. And I think they had each had a goal of one woman had a goal of 15,000 words for 4 days, and she almost made it. She got 14,300. I'm thinking, really? You went away to write. You went to a writer's retreat to write, and you managed to scrape together 14,000 words. Not quite 15,000 words in 4 days. Jeez Louise. So I have found some cabins. I have to go check them out. I have found some housekeeping cabins up at Red Feather Lake. It's about 90 minutes from here. And if we hadn't had floods intervene, I would have gone by now. But I want to take a ride up one of these days and go check them out. Because I think as a writer's retreat for me, just to go up and spend perhaps a long weekend sometime so that I get away from all of the distractions of internet and Eve Online and family and kids, and all I really have to do is curl up with a word processor and a coffee pot and keep myself going. Because that could be huge. That could be almost a whole book in a long weekend if I weren't distracted, if I pulled myself away from all of the things that I allow to distract me. And then it occurred to me that that would be a lovely thing to do, to take some of my Northern Colorado writer friends, or even Rocky Mountain fiction writer people, who want to have a retreat that's not 1 hour of writing in the morning and 1 hour of writing in the afternoon and then social time for the rest, but is 9 to noon writing, noon to one lunch, 1 to 4 writing, 4 to 6 dinner, 6 to 10 writing, rinse, repeat. They spend a lot of time, according to the article, they spend a lot of time reading to each other their stories. No, we don't want to do that. I'm not interested in playing that game. It would be good to go compare notes. It's like, okay, my goal for the next 3 hours is 4,000 words. See if I can do it. What about you? Oh, I want to do 3,000 words, or I'm going to do 2,500 words, or whatever. And have some, you know, breakfast goal setting. Maybe put up a big white sheet of paper, one of those flip chart sheets, and then mark the names and the goals for the weekend, the daily breakdowns, see how we can do. They have a lodge where you can all convene, so it would be, if we rented the whole resort, it's like 6 cabins or 7 cabins, it's not what you call a huge place. I think there is at least 3 cabins with 2 bedrooms, and one cabin is a singleton. I forget what else is there, but it could be fun. I think it could be a good time. I think it could be something that we could sort of put in the schedule, because I need to get away. I need those times away. The one thing that this last year has shown me is that without Balticon, I don't get the recharge time. Without at least one trip a year, I don't get the recharge. And if I could make the trip smaller, I could do them more frequently. And I just need to negotiate taking the time off with the family so that I'm doing it at a point in time when I'm not going to discommode them overly. Because that's a price that comes that is not monetary, but is a price that I would have to pay. And so that's a problem. It's something I have to negotiate with them. But I think long weekend, when particularly the kid doesn't have school, so there's no, you know, Friday drop-off pickup, I could go up Friday, come back on Sunday afternoon. Seconds. 17:42 on the back half, that's not bad. It's much more in line with my previous days. It's interesting that the increased pace on the front half translates into an increased pace on the back half, because when I didn't have those front ends that were 16 minutes long, the back ends were 18 minutes long and not 17. Interesting. At any rate, that little verbal blurble is the cue that I am at the back gate. And time for me to say tomorrow is another day, and with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.